how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about the groaning of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
Victory we have in that blood of Jesus Christ. We welcome you in the house of the Lord this morning. Hope all of you had a good rest last night. We had a really good service, and just the presence of the Lord was here yesterday, and the preaching of the word going forth, and it's just wonderful to fellowship with brothers and sisters. And like Brother Joel was saying, if we walk in the light as he is that light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let's all stand as Brother Terrence comes this morning. We'll sing that chorus as he makes his way up here. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me.
Beneath the crimson flood. Amen. Good morning. Glad to see everyone with us this morning. Good, crisp, cold morning. Remember, Valentine's Banquet will be coming up February the 16th. Pictures will be at 4 o'clock. We'll start eating at 5. You need to sign up on the refrigerator downstairs if you have not signed up and you are coming. Remember that. It'll be at Loretta's like it always is. You don't know where that's at, ask somebody. They'll get you there. A couple requests. Remember Lisa? She's still at home sick. She's doing better, but she's sick. And Brother Chris Reynolds, he was here last week, is sick also with the same stuff. He's feeling better, but he's still got a fever, sore throat, can't talk, and he's coughing and congestion. That's what pretty much everybody's got and done. Also, he needs a daytime job, it says. So just remember that we pray that our brother gets a daytime job. So just remember that. It's the only ones I have. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling, maybe on the highways, wherever they may be. And Lord, we thank you for taking care of everybody last night, traveling home. Just the ones that was traveling, just be with them and help them. Lord, be with the sick. Remember Brother Chris and Lisa there, Lord, at home. Lord, just come down and bless them and take these sore throats and fever away from them all, Lord. Just be with us the rest of the service. Give Dad strength that we have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Lord, we all have unspoken requests and things that we've asked for, Lord. Just come down and bless those things, Lord, whatever the needs may be. Be with us and guide us and forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Holy.
this morning and take the whole in tithes and offering. Let's turn to page 373. You have your spiral soul book near you.
Once my heart and soul was fettered by the bonds and chains of sin, but the great emancipator set me free to worship Him. I'm singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be His holy name, for He's the great emancipator. Song of the redeemed. Let's sing that first verse. Oh, once my heart and soul was fettered by the binding chains of sin, but the great emancipator set us free, set me free to worship Him. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name, for He's the great emancipator, and that's the song of the redeemed. Let's all stand. I'm singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. He's the great emancipator, and that's the song of the redeemed.
Happy to see everybody here this morning, and ask God just to touch us in a special way and bless us. We are, you know, we're living in the end time. And when he called, we want to be able to hear that call. Yes. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 48. Before we read, let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, as we come before you, Lord, praying that you is in each and every heart, Father, that you would open up the understanding to hear the words that we read. Lord, you would bless it. Lord, let it become a part of us, for we desire to have you in our life, ruling and reigning. Lord, we ask you to bless those in Sunday school classes, Father, as they are preparing, Lord, to receive a foundation to grow on. Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Dale this morning and touch him in a special way. Give him the strength and understanding, God, that he may bring forth unto us that which we have need to hear. Oh, God, and we just thank you always, wherever we are, let us have you first in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Going to read Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hastened away.
Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail.
Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind.
As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God.
We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple.
According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness.
Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments.
Walk about Zion.
Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will our guide unto death. Amen. God bless you. May be seated.
That chorus, How Great Is Our God, How Great Is His Word, is on page 218 of KF. How great is His Word. Do you love Him this morning? Today we just keep falling in love more and more when He reveals Himself.
How great is our God, how great is His Word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. Well, He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I will lead you, put your trust in me. That ever was heard, and well your trust in me. What a promise. Oh, how great is our God. How great is His word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. Well, He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. There's a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, set the captive free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, in my soul. Like Brother Branham talked about, that bubbling river, there's something behind it that just keeps pushing him every day. He's bubbling up that river of life. Amen. Let's sing. Do you know that song, I'm Going to Live So God Can Use Me? It's in the key of F. I'm going to live so God can use me any day now, any time. I'm gonna live so God can use me any way, Lord, any time. Oh, I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, any time. I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. And I'm gonna sing so God can use me anywhere, Lord, oh, anytime. I'm gonna sing so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. Anytime, oh, I'm gonna live. speak, Lord, so you can use me. Praise again. I tell you, he's worthy of all praise and worship. When you pray in the Spirit, when you sing in the Spirit, Brother Brown said, pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit, live in the Spirit. And then you'll be ready at any time, anything the devil tries to bring up, you know God can use you for that. Amen. Let's change the order of the service as Brother Dale comes this morning. Let's prepare our hearts to hear the word.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high in freedom. You're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. As we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
See him, don't you? Good to be in the house of the Lord. You love him. Good to see everybody. Good to see Michael and Benjamin. And I guess Sister Milka came with you, didn't she? Okay. Hey, good to see you. Oh, we had a wonderful time last night. I think I did anyway. I hope you did. Had a good time. Everything went real good. And we appreciate everything that you done for the cooking, the working, the cleaning, and all of the things that was done. We appreciate it. We give you a great hand to the men, the women, and everything. And all of it went good, and everybody got cleaned up real good at the end. And you got to see some of you how that all of these things has to be done, and you know, to have doing. And we appreciate it. Appreciate all of that, all of the food. And there is enough food for us to eat. At least plenty of chicken. We had so much chicken till Brother Forney, I thought he might have about two or three boxes in his pocket going out the door, but I don't reckon he did. But we had a good time and had a good fellowship and all, and everybody seemed to appreciate it, and they thanked everybody for the, you know, for the work and the things that you've done in doing it. Amen. And if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in 1 Peter 1 and in Revelations 1, and we'll try to pick up our thought to make sure that you follow what we're talking about and everything, you know, and then we'll try to move on with the thought. All right. So it's good. I see. Remember the Valentine banquet in February. Keep that in mind. Remember, I was thinking it was this week, but I think it's week from Monday or something. Brother Durrett and him's going to the Philippines to be gone for 2 or 3 months. So remember them and pray that the Lord would be with the whole family, take care of them. And the Lord willing, this coming weekend now, Brother Vernon will be with us from the Philippines to minister unto us this weekend. So remember that. All right. Anything else that we're missing? I don't know of it. Okay. All right. Maybe we got everything covered. Okay. Let's just pray and go right into the word. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love unto us, Lord. We thank you for you. And we ask you to just bless each one of us, Father, in understanding, because that's what we desire more than anything. Open our eyes to thy word, Lord. We sing it unto thee every service. And Lord, we believe that the fact that in the times of the Bible that they sent the singers first. So, Lord, we've sung about you of open our eyes. So now come on the scene and fill our hearts with your love and grace. Forgive our sins and lead us by thine understanding. Bless each one. Remember the sick among us. Remember Lisa, our Lord, and just the different ones, Lord, that are sick. We pray that you would just guide each one. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 1. We'll start reading. Let's just go ahead in verse about 13 to save reading, you know, so much time. We've read this over and over and over, and how it's coming down to how that everything spoke of this day. All the prophets in their lives, the things they done, spoke of this day. All right. And then when it did, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay. Now let's go over to Revelations 1 verse 12. Verse 11, John is told, 11 and all told, to write what he sees and send it to the churches and all, naming each one. And then after this voice had told him all of these things, see, then we start our point. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. In the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now, he's describing this one that's being seen. Then look what happens. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand on me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. The prophet said, this is not even a prophet. This is Almighty God speaking here in the scripture. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I've spent quite a time on trying to get us to see the background or the layout, you know, laying things down, getting it in order, to understand the writing of the Bible, number one, and how that Bible is still being manifested, because it's unveiling, it's opening up, and really it's being written. You know, it's already been penned. Now, don't misunderstand my statements. That's why I review a lot and recap a lot what I say, because I don't want you to misunderstand my point. You know, God's not writing down. The Bible was written before the world. All right? That's in God. Come down to mankind, and then it was started to be penned and coming down. And John, he pens the last part to bring it to us of the book of Revelation. All right? So then in doing that, as I've tried to cover it, because I want the point in your mind definite to think on, that the Bible is a wonderful book because it shows the past, the present, and the future. Right? Now, but listen to what I'm saying. God doesn't live in the past. He does not live in the future. He lives in the present tense because that's what he told Moses at the bush when he said, "Who do I tell them sent me?" He said, "Tell them I am that I am." I am means ever present, right? For eternity. Ever present. There is no future in God. Now, he knows the future. His omniscience and all of the understanding knows those things. But he's not there. That's the one thing that really thrilled my soul to read when the prophet, I began to read this message, and one day he said it like this. He said, even though man sinned, and there in the garden, he said, God just come right down to live with man. And there's never been a time since he descended there in the garden that he was never here present with the believers. All right? He's never left us. He says he doesn't, so why don't we believe it? But do we think about it as that? I've got a little thought now that I'm telling you, this is a more or less a few minutes to kind of make sure you understand. Then I got a little thought I want to express to you that I believe will help us about an ever-present God. And see, that's the way I believe it. I don't believe he's in the future. I don't believe he's in the past. I believe he's in the present tense right now. Now, if he moved over 10 million years, if you could click a switch and 10 million years would appear, you know, he'd still be present tense. Right? Come on, are you right? You with me? If he stepped over 10 million years and it clicked and that past was gone, he'd still be ever present. That's the point I'm trying to get you to see about the Bible. And you'll see that it was written about what happened, like Moses, and almost 3,000 years from the time that Moses comes on the scene to pen Genesis, right? Because you got 2,000 of the flood, and then you got maybe however long it takes in to get over to Moses and his writing. Right? Now, to me, that's wonderful. And he could sit back there and write all the way to the future. Everything to an end of all things. All right? But yet still, he's ever present. A God of the future is no good. Now, you don't misunderstand my terms. I don't have enough education to express myself. I just use plain old Georgia language. There's no past, there's no present with God. Everything, I mean no future, no past and no future. Everything is present tense. Well, when are we going to start believing it that way? When are we going to start believing it that way? You know, if we ever do believe that he's ever present, it'll take away the one little word that is the most horrible thing to all mankind, and even affects Christians, is the word called fear. It'll take away that. Why? Let me ask you this, because this is what I want to get to in a minute over here, but I've got to bring the back. Why should a Christian fear? What is there to fear? Well, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. Why? We'll get to that in a minute, but I want to cover the point and make sure you understand. When John writes the book of Revelation is coming into view. And we went through showing that Brother Branham said that God told John, I want you to know who I am before we go into anything. All right? So he revealed the Godhead. We went through that, covering the point. Okay. Then he says, now, all right? Said, that's not all the story. John, write the things that you see and send it to the seven church ages that is to come. All right? Now, when he comes to that, he says, John, write what you see. And he turned to see the voice. And being turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks. All right? That was where God immorphed or changed his form. And on the day of Pentecost, he came into the bride of Jesus Christ at Pentecost. That's where he changed his form. Now he's showing you a reflection of himself in the believers. All right? And as he does, he said, it's one like unto the Son of Man. He said, gird about the paps. All right, can't be a woman. I mean, can't be a man. Got to be a woman because it's showing where it's going. See, it's the bride. So he said, okay, now I want you to know who I am. Now I want you to know where I went or where he goes to in stage two or whatever you want to call it. So he goes to the born-again believer on the day of Pentecost. All right. Then you got the book of Acts. All right. Then you start the church ages and the time coming down. But he says, John, before you go any further now, you see who I am. That should be settled, right, in our thoughts and minds. He showed who he was. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. All right. That's why I said to Brother Brown, I said, this is not even a prophet. He said, this is the Lord himself. All right. So then he turns and he says, all right, now, John, I want you to write what you see and send it to the seven church ages. All right. Now, I hope you was listening and been listening and will listen. He goes immediately to describe the position that he moves over into, whatever you want to call it. He amorphes, he changes his form, and he's talking to verse 12. When he turned to see the voice, and Brother Brown said, I gave you those quotes over and over. He said, it's not a man, he said, because of the paps. All right. And he said, he shows here himself revealed in his bride. All right. And said, that shows where he went to, in other words. All right. Now, was you following that point then and listening? See? He shows a wonderful situation. I want to make sure you don't miss this one, all right? He shows where he's at. He showed who he was. He said, now you got that right now, John. Now, I want you right now and send to the church ages what you see. He didn't start back over on the Godhead. Come on, are you listening? Verse 1, 2, and 3, he says, I want you to see who I am. Verse 4 through 9 and 10, he's showing who he is. All right. He doesn't stop because that's where your oneness messed up. See, your oneness will come up to that one, but they won't move on into, oh yeah, they talk about it. Now listen, they talk about the new birth. They talk about God and his doings, but they stop short. I watched that in the Philippines, not in the Philippines, in Jamaica, when I preached in that oneness convention. I saw where our problem is. We can follow up to a certain spot, but then when we do, it just stops. See? I told you the only thing, they followed me. I went step by step because I asked the pastor, what do you want me to do? He said, my people in the daytime, preach your heart out. He said, at nighttime, he said, remember, you're preaching to people that know nothing about the message. Or nothing like that. He said, so kind of take it easy at night. Well, I kind of easing along, you know. But I got to getting a little stronger at night. And those people followed me. You're to talk to oneness people. Man, they know those scriptures. And you look at your songs. One of them, all, you know, you got all kind of songs that was written by a lot of those people that were oneness. And see, that oneness, he stops with Jesus being the life form of God. Now listen, it didn't mean they stopped talking about Jesus or anything like that, or talk to you about the Holy Ghost or what it does or whatever, or the book of Acts. No, it just means their advancement of understanding, the revelation, ended at that point. And the only thing they backed up, I mean, I went through the scriptures because, you know, you've heard me tell the story. Some people had been there and kind of put a bad taste in their mouth about the believers of the message. So Brother Reed wanted me to kind of just, you know, go in and that was so odd to take an old guy like me, you know, that something I didn't come through Pentecost. But I saw what they were. The thing they backed up is when I hit Melchizedek. I mean, they never backed up a stitch on anything about one God, Almighty God, Jesus being God. You can just preach your heart out to the oneness. And they'll amen you and go right along with you. But then when I hit Melchizedek, it was just kind of, Now, you know, I mean, you got to know me to know what I'm doing. See, I can tell whether or not you're following what I'm talking about. Right? You know why? Because you'll go to and you won't talk about it. You'll just stop. And you won't advance. So then I know you don't know. So I'll back up. And I'll come back through. And it's, oh, okay. So, and I'll back up and I'll come back through. But to get the point. See? How many in this building is still oneness? See, now, get me, listen. You could preach all you want to about the Holy Ghost being in the church. And the Holy Ghost doing this and the healings and the signs and the wonders. They would shout their heels off at you about it. But they never saw that was where God had morphed into the believers. They still want to hold to Jesus only. But are you listening? It don't mean they don't read the Bible. Do you get me? It don't mean that they don't talk about the Bible. You go down to the Baptist today, talk to them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They'll talk with you like everything until you strike that one God just a little bit too close, or you hit the water baptism or something, and then they just back up on you. Because the Baptist doctrine is one God. I come from there. It's one God. But it's explained by the Baptist as God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. But they'll holler you like, amen on one God. But then when you say it's not three persons, then they'll go, See, and you know that they're not getting what you're talking about. It stops. Well, see, then you have to just divert around and come back another way. Because Brother Ryan said, hold that point up till people gets it. He said, then move on. He said, Brother Dale, are you calling me a oneness? If you don't see the necessity or the importance or the greatest thing that could ever happen in the world to think about, that Almighty God never just come to stand down here with us and walk with us and talk with us and guide us and take care of us and protect us. He come to live in his people. And it took all of those, that's why we kept reading in Peter, it took all of what those prophets done where Brother Branham would say they built the body, the prophets. All right. Then the body would step out and there it would be Jesus Christ. And he'd say, a body thou hast prepared me. All right. See, then, you know, we get hooked on something. We do that oneness point. We stop. And we don't see the future point. All right. Now, so one truth, like 8 or 9, 10, God is showing who he is. All right. 12, verse 12, you know, he turns to show what he has done. All right. And John turns to see, and remember I emphasized it so much. John knew who was talking to him. He didn't have to turn around. He could have said, Jesus, that's wonderful where you're at. Because he knew who that was. But the amazing thing was when he turned, what he saw. Remember, what he saw was the bride of Jesus Christ. What? God in another form. And we're in no way trying to make the bride greater than the bridegroom. Right? But the bridegroom without the bride is nothing, and the bride without the groom is nothing. So, all right. But see the point now. He goes, I'll show you who I am. All right. Then he turns and he says, all right, here's where I want you to see my immorphy, my changing form. And I've made myself known. And then he's ever present. There's not a place anywhere. If he was ever present with Moses to tell him I am, how much more is he ever present with his bride? See, you're not preaching about, when I'm preaching about this chapter, I mean, you know, showing the bride in Morphe, I'm talking about him in Morphe. I'm not talking about me and you in Morphe. No. We're where he in Morphe's at. We are the part where he changes from being the one true and living God dwelling, as we'd call it, alone. Now he's in a many-membered bride, not to just the first church age. Now here's the whole point, so get it and then we'll get on to our thought. He shows all of the seven church ages. All right? He shows John that. And then John sees so much, he falls down at his feet. You realize that John, to the point, had got to where he couldn't separate between what he saw and who he was talking about. Right? Because he's seen God in Morphe to another stage of the journey and to come forth in bride form. All right. Are you following that, see? And not back up and say, wait a minute. Now, I can see him in Jesus, but I just can't see him. And here's where we are. Here's the message. I can see him in Jesus. I can see him in Brother Branham. Oh, yeah. I can tell you all about Brother Branham and all the healings and signs and wonders and the great. Praise God. But you realize that don't save nobody. Now, you show me where it does. No, that's right. Show me where it's knowing about Brother Branham saves you. No. Knowing about the Lord Jesus don't save you. Right. Knowing what I'm talking about, and I'm plainly telling you 5 sermons to get you to go from the point of seeing God and where he, who he is, over to the basis of seeing where he immorphed into his bride on the day of Pentecost and told John to write this and show how perfect the church is before he ever penned one word in the church ages. Right? Before he ever penned one word in the church ages, he'd already told the bride how perfect she is. Before she ever done one thing. We'll get over into the church ages and we'll see it. So if you will, read them and just keep reading them. Because you see, there'll be things in there, you know, that's good and that's bad. And then I hate this and I hate that and you hate it too. And I mean, but then the lice, it always winds up with what? What is the lice thing to every church age? To him that overcometh. Now, how do we overcome? Not in ourselves. We have to be in Jesus Christ to be an overcomer. We're not an overcomer by ourselves. I don't care what we think we are. We're not. We're that group, as I said, that's standing there, seeing another stage, but can't get to it. We know that it's talking about something. We Baptists talked about a God of glory that was eternal and lived upon earth. But then when somebody comes along and says, hey, what about this? Now, we don't quite see that, you know. We Baptists, we'd take pastors and we'd take evangelists. And every once in a while, we'd kind of deal with the teachers style. But that apostle, the prophet, never was mentioned. Now, I was there 10, 15 years, and a Baptist deacon, so I happen to know a little bit about their doctrine. And you see, it'd go so far and then stop. All right? Kind of like that boy said one day, he said, Jehovah Witness, or no, not Jehovah Witness, Mormon. He said, if you just understood about prophets, me and you could talk. That's what he told me. I said, let's just do a little talking. I think I understand a little bit about prophets. What I meant was, I think I understand a little more than you do. You know, that was really what I was telling him. But I didn't want to blast him with it. So I said, okay, now we talk about prophets. You know, all right. But listen, do you follow me? God shows who he is, then he shows where he amorphies to his second stage. And when he amorphied into that second stage, now here's the point, so listen. Get it. He showed the church how perfect she was before she ever started. He said, oh, you're getting into preexistence. I'm getting into preexistence of God. I've always believed in the preexistence of God, don't you? And that's who I'm talking about, amorphing. Jesus Christ amorphing into his church. It is not you and me. The church ages is not me and you. It's Christ in me and you. Right? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right? So you get what I'm talking about then. Then as he shows him, one standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. See, not the Son of Man, because that physical part don't show up. Now you got to remember, this is the church age. This is the writing of John and showing. You got to remember what we've been trying to bring. When Jesus said, who do man say, I the Son of Man am? Peter couldn't answer his question, but he answered what God revealed. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, in other words, said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you who was the Son of Man, but I know you can't follow it. He seen him stop. Right? He knew he couldn't progress. So he said, all right, we take this about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then I'll describe to you what you look like. Because you are an amorphy of God on the earth. That's the bride of Christ. And said, you'll be like the Son of Man. Come on, listen. What is it? Page 12. It's the rising sun. I know it's in the rising sun. Brother Brown said, who is this Son of Man? He said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Who is this that you're seeing here? God in another form. Called the bride. All right? Now, he shows her then how perfect. Now come on, we're gonna tap some scriptures in a minute that I hope follows this, because I've waited and waited till I get a thought, and then, all right. I thought the Bible said that those who he had justified, what? He hath already, what?
Glorified.
Now, where we're glorified? Hey, this ain't glorified. Nothing you see And 90% of my actions has nothing to do with glorification. But what was the thing we gave the quote? They're on the internet, so you don't have to have them, but you know it. What was it? Brother Brown said that, talking about the bride, he said, that was him standing there glorified. Where is God glorified? In his church. You realize before what I'm trying to say? Before he ever started anything, he tells them how perfect they are. Well, yeah, but Brother Dale, I'm not perfect. I'll agree with you. Ain't none of us perfect. We don't have to worry about it. All right? But it's what he says. He says those he justified, he's already glorified. All right? But see, we're standing, and it's truthful, right? Because we're human. We're standing here. Boy, I'll be glad one of these days when this body's glorified. In God, it's already done. He's done seen it. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. He's done showing you how perfect you are. That's the basis of five sermons. This is number six. It's to hit the point of showing that in the bride, God is glorified already. As far as he's concerned, we're already changed. We're already eternal. We're already, as far as God is concerned. Sure, we've got to wait. But what has that got to do with it? Now I'm going to say something that I hope goes over right. Everybody's looking for this to happen, that to happen, this to happen. Brother Dale, what are you looking for? The thing that I've always looked for when I first started in the message is to find a group of people that would believe what a prophet said. All the prophet said. That's like I said about the Baptists. We would talk. You can talk to the believers in this way. Oh, yes. The message is it. We've got the message. And everything we need is here. 3 months later, they're gone and destroying the message and everything could ever be thought of. Right? Why? Because they got so far and they couldn't see no further. If you can't see no further, you're in dangerous. I warn you. Anytime you come to a blocked state, be careful. Because you can jump on the other side and get on the wrong thing. Or you can back up to saying, well, I don't believe nothing's going on. I don't see nothing. I don't. Just remember, if you say you don't believe there's anything going on, then you're denying God's word. Because God said he never would leave us. Brother Brown said there's never been an age. I was looking at that this morning. Never been an age that God didn't live and abide in that age and have a believer for that period of time. But listen, do you get it then? Maybe we can hit the point. He shows, and he says, the sound of many waters. You can go into explaining all the whole thing. Coming down, which is the ministers bringing the message and the things. You can go through all of that, but I'm trying to just save time to get you to a thought. Chapter 1 is showing Almighty God. And showing the church ages. Before they ever transpire. All right? Showing how perfect the church is. All right. But do we believe it? Do we really believe it? Oh, I wrote myself a note and then don't read my notes. Mary and Micah and the baby landed in the Philippines safely. So we thank God for that. Everywhere they at. Japan. All right. They're there. It don't matter what country I call it. They're there. All right. I wrote that down. And then don't even read my own notes. Okay. But now listen. Why would Brother Branham make statements like this? He said, when Titus come into Jerusalem, Wade quoted it the other day. When Titus come into Jerusalem, all those Jews run back into the temple, right? Because they believe that God would fight for them. Brother Branham said, not one. Now, I can't find a wording, so you can help me with it. He's either Christian or believer. He said, not one Christian was in the walls of Jerusalem. Some of you shaking your head, so you know it's right, okay? I believe it, don't you? Why? Because God had told them, when you see these things, Jesus speaking to them, taking place, and this happens, and you see the Mosque of Omar, you see the different thing. Yeah, but that's got to be, no, no. When you see this happening this way, said, get out. And Bud, they left. Brother Brown said, not one true believer was left in the walls of Jerusalem. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To think about God thinking so much of the people till he wouldn't even leave them there. Not one true believer was left in Jerusalem. They all left. Listen, church, showing that that Roman bug coming on down, don't matter what it's doing, there ain't going to be no true believers left in the wrong place. Okay. Now here we're going to try to get a thought and then I'll quit. Because do you understand? Do you understand? John is seeing future everything and what he's to write to and who is to do what. And when it is, it's showing Jesus Christ as he lives. The church ages is not going to show, because now listen, do you have a red letter edition of the Bible? Then chapter one is basically red letter because it's talking about who that is. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 is totally, there's like two words in chapter 2 or 3 that is not red letter. Meaning, that's what Jesus said. Right? Is that the point we're supposed to be getting? Well, now, where's he at? He's in his bride. So in the book here that we read and we see that it comes down, John says, and he looks, and Brother Brown said, this ain't a prophet. He said, this is God. John falls down here to worship. Because this is Almighty God. So you can't put and say, well, Brother Branham was in chapter 1. No, he wasn't. No. Now you get over to, when we get over to 17, 18, 19, we're going to start picking up something. All right? And we'll see some things. But don't do it with chapter 1. Because chapter 1 totally reveals who this is. It's Almighty God morphing into his church and showing her how perfect she is. Now listen, get this in there, just anchor it in deep. Showing her before anything ever starts how perfect God sees her. Right? Yeah. I was thinking about something the other day, just meditating on scriptures and things, and I got to thinking about people, you know, and life. And you know, we're wonderfully blessed people. I mean, even the worst that we have, we're wonderfully blessed. Pictures don't even show some of these situations in these foreign countries and things like that, their living conditions and their things. And I was thinking about that. And I was praying. I said, Lord, them poor little kids, them adults, them people, living in those shacks, living under conditions that is, you know, almost inhuman conditions to look at. No running water, no bathrooms, no nothings. And, you know, a lot of you was never raised in the point to where when it rained, we had to move the pots. Now, your older one knows what I mean. Because the roof leaked so much, you had to put a pot underneath that spot. You had to move the bed over in the middle of the night, because if you didn't, you was going to get wet. We lived under some of those things, but they were still not doing. But I was thinking about, Lord, how great it is to be here. You know, we have our problems. But those poor people, especially that, they don't have nothing hardly. And they're at their mercy, they're at the mercy of the elements, living in conditions that are beyond any thought. And, you know, subject to the weather, subject to animals and all kind of things. And I said, Lord, could you just help them? You know, could you just help them a little bit? And all at once the answer came. The answer was very simple. And he said, I'm there. Said, I'm with them. And I thought, well, man, it don't look like it. But you can't argue with him. And I thought about them little kids and even the teenagers and things, you know, and just living off of what they could grab, eat, and steal. In Jamaica, we were sitting out there and you could see a light up in a tree. And I said, what is that, Brother Reed? He said, that's a candle. And he says they're getting the apples off that apple tree. Well, they had a stick and a candle sticking out on that thing, and it had a knife blade fixed and had a little bag. They had ingeniously figured, however you say that word, they had figured out this thing, and they had a little bucket. And they'd just run that up, and that candle, they could see the apple, and they'd just shoot, and it would fall in that little thing, and they'd take them out the next day on the side of the road and sell them. And I said, well, I've seen things like that. But the main thing I was thinking about was like animals and things at the mercy. You know, snakes and all like that, you know. And he just come to me, he said, I'm there. Yeah. Okay. I got to thinking then about the way the prophet described things and the way the Bible talked about it. And you know, in the book of Job, Satan asked to try to get to Job, and what did God do? He said, now you can do this, do that, but you don't touch him. But anyhow, what did he say to start with? What did Satan say? Now, this is not a born-again believer. Okay? Job's not a born-again believer. But what did he say to him? Satan says, you got a hedge built around him. And said, there's no way I can get to him. We hear Brother Branham talk about sickness cannot come upon us without God permitting it. But yet we run our human brains, runs hog wild in our thinking. See, God wasn't there protecting Job from bad cold, sinus problems. Now, come on, I'm trying to be honest and straight with you to get it right. All the way through the Bible where we can say what we need to say. Did Brother Branham, was he sick? Oh, yeah, he was sick. Well, now, was the Lord Jesus sick? Did Brother Brown say he groaned with a headache after raising it? Was he subject to sicknesses? So when it says that, you know, He had a hedge around Job. Did that hedge mean that there was no way for him to stump his toe and tire the end off of it and it be hurting? No. Was it any kind of a small little effect of something of life that he ate the wrong thing and wound up with diarrhea and or something, you know? See, we get it all in the wrong direction. That's what he was trying to show me. We think, well, we're Christians. We're not supposed to have anything. No problems to a Christian. Well, what do you mean? Brother Dale, you got a sinus problem. Yeah. Now, come on. I faced some men with these questions years ago. You know that a lot of you Pentecostals didn't agree with Brother Branham. You know why? Because he went to the doctor. Right? We had one brother used to sit up here. He said, if you see me and I get cut half in two, he said, you leave me alone. He said, don't you take me to the doctor. I said, brother, you're dumb. I just as clear as I could make him trying to explain to him. I said, that's wrong. And this other brother used to come here. I mean, I faced these and talked to him, okay? And this brother, he said, I ain't going to take no medicine for nothing. Well, after a while, I asked him, I said, you ever take any aspirin? Well, yeah. I said, oh, I thought you didn't believe in taking medicine. Well, but that's not medicine. That's. I said, a dog goes out in the yard, he gets sick. He goes out in the yard and eats grass. He vomits, he gets better. I said, what'd he do? He took medicine. Right? And I said, you're trying to say take no medicine. You're not in the Bible with it. I said, the Lord Jesus was sick. I said, Brother Branham went to the doctors. And I said, that's where your Pentecostals, a lot of them didn't agree. I've talked with two brothers who used to sit here that swear to the fact that they... That was what hurt them about Brother Branham, that he went to the doctor. See, they were so spiritual. So they didn't believe in taking no medication. But you know what? As life went on a little with those people, I kind of watched them, you know, and they'd take an aspirin. Next thing, they'd take this. Next thing, they'd take that. And I had a while of his own medicine, just like all the rest of us. I didn't make no light of them. I'm not making light of them now. They were sincere people, honest and great. But that brother, one of them told him, said, if you see me laying there cut half in two, don't take me to no doctor. He said, leave me alone. Because they were so spiritual. But we laugh at them, but don't laugh at them because they were sincere in their thinking. Is it wrong to go to the doctors? Can I quote you the prophet, what he said one day? He said, your first duty is to go to the doctor. No, I'm to pray. He said, your first time. He said, in other words, I'm paraphrasing it, but it's close enough. He said, in other words, I shouldn't even pray for you until you go to the doctor. That's paraphrasing it, but it's close enough. You say, but you're trying to make it. No, I'm trying to make him what he was. And I'm trying to make it like it is. We wind up with sinus problems. You realize that if you base it upon what we think as to the basis of our Christianity would be based upon the point of whether we went to the doctors or not, you realize that everybody in this building, including me, would be lost. Because if you take herbs, if you take any medication, you take anything, that's medicine. So you try to justify, no, that's not medicine. That's natural things. Well, I get a headache and naturally reach for a bottle and take a aspirin. That's natural to me. What do? I go on with a headache. No, you don't. Come on. We're not against anything. We're trying to tell the truth. But tell it like it is. Because you have a headache doesn't mean you're lost. Yeah. It doesn't mean the wrath of God has been poured out on you. It doesn't mean that Satan has talked God into allowing him to give you a headache. Because those are natural life. Now we're going to place it over into something else in a minute. So you watch what you're agreeing with or different with it, man. You think about what I'm saying. Because to me it's a very serious matter. It's not wrong to be sick. If it is, then what are you going to do with one of his attributes? I am the Lord that healeth all of thy diseases. Take it away. You take it away if you don't agree with it. Well, Brother Dale, I'm just telling the truth the best that I can. It's not wrong to go to the doctor. It's wrong to take the doctor's word against God's word. Now, are we right now? Come on, you following me? It's wrong to take the doctor's word against God's word. But I see most of you, and I've been there myself, and most everybody I've dwelt with, they can come up. You take somebody that'll wind up with cancer or some disease, and they'll come and they'll say, "By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed. Bless God, you can't tell me I ain't healed. I'm healed." About a year later, "Would you mind praying for me? I'm having problems with this." You can see them start breaking down. 2 or 3 years later, they're dying with cancer. But yet all of that time they screamed and hollered that by his stripes they were healed. Who lied? What went wrong? Could it be that most of our confessions is confessions without a possession about it? Yeah, I've seen those things. I saw a man one time that he had, I guess you call it gangrene or what it was, in his foot. Well, Brother Malk, he's passed on now. And he wouldn't take no medication. But he was a diabetic man. And he ate sugar like going out of style. I always told him that was wrong. But anyhow, he was laying up in the hospital. They was they're begging him to take his leg off, at least his foot, because it had already started turning colors and gangrene was setting. I was there and saw him. I looked down at his foot and went sick, because you could see every ligament, everything in his foot. There was no meat on the foot. It had already been eaten away. I was looking down to just tendons, or what you call them, strips and things with a little meat around it, and it red and his leg already turning and already getting, and the doctor says, "We've got to take it off. Please talk him into taking that off." He said, "I walked in here with it and I'll walk out of here with it." Well, I'm honest. I begged him. I said, "Take it. I ain't got nothing to do with your faith." He said, "I said it and I'll stand by it." You know what? He walked out of that hospital on that leg and that foot. The day he died, he had no more trouble with that foot. Well, there's faith. Huh? There's situations that is true faith that takes over. Right? And I believe in that. I believe in healing, yes. But I believe also that a lot we blame is we're blaming God for it, because then we question, "Why am I sick? Lord, what have I done?" I thought we believed that sometimes the things were put on us to make us think. And that would be God releasing Satan to where he could work on us. But get my point so we can move on. Because you got a sniffling bad cold don't mean God has put allowed every devil to jump onto you. It just means you're sick. Right? Because if you don't, you're going to have all of it going. You know, every little situation you come up with. It's not sickness. It's a part of the environment that we live in. that we're subject to sickness. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. He said, well, you started off pretty good a minute ago, but you're killing me now. Well, maybe we need killing. Come on, just get this simple little point, and then I'll move on to the... Because you have a sniffling cold don't mean that God has returned the devil loose onto you. It just means you're in the world. Because who turned it loose on Jesus? And Brother Branham had sicknesses, right? Because I remember talking with a brother about it. It's in the message of Jehovah Jireh in California, I'm pretty sure it's 62, where Brother Branham, he was seeing the sick healed of all forms and signs and wonders. I don't remember, the dead might have been raised and all in those meetings. He was going to the doctor every day about his stomach. You say, well, that was the devil let loose. That's okay. I ain't going to argue with you. I'm just going to tell you we're a subject to being sick. But what's the first thing we do when something goes wrong? Lord, what did I do? Right? Lord, what have I done that this has come on me? Why not say it this way? God, thank you for allowing this to come on to me to bring me to Him. Is that any problem with saying it like that? That I can take then the things that affect me and I can come closer to the Lord in that and stay just as sick. Right? What's wrong? Why can't we? You say, well, what's your thought? I'm talking about an ever-present, eternal God. Now, if He's ever-present, is He with you when you're well and gone when you're sick? No, He's with us more when we're sick, because He's displaying His attributes, His healer and all kind of things, if we just think that away. We carried weight up to the doctor one time, and, oh, man, he'd run temperature back that days. I mean, we talk about 102 now, is running off the scale, and waited to have 105 because of his tonsils just swelled out and all. They finally had to take them out, but, you know. So he was sick one time, and that's about the only time I've ever missed church, I guess. And we stayed there with him. Brother Tatum then was, and Sister Tatum stayed with us, and we prayed for him all day. And he just got worse and worse. So we finally said, okay, let's go to the doctor. So we go to the doctor. We walk into the doctor's office. And the doctor meets us in his office. He was a nice guy, you know, and he opened up and let us in. And just about the time Wade walked inside the door and got in the building, he could have done it before then, but he didn't. He just walked in the door, and about that time, he just covered that place up and vomited all over everything. You know what the doctor said? This is what he said. He said, take him on back home. He'll be all right. He said, I'll give him some medicine to help him and things, but said, he's all right now. I said, doctor, can I pay for, you know, this? Can we help you clean it up? He said, no, we got a cleaner for that. He was just as nice. He said, but just take him on back home. Well, you know what? We just put him in the car. We got him a little medicine, everything, sure. All right. But you see, we don't think God is with us on everything. You know, and we get, now listen, trying to explain something hard to do. We get a sniffling cold, and then after a while, we finally realize, well, hey, this is not a major disastrous thing. And we just stop praying. You ever do that? You ever get sick and you get about halfway over it? And here's the worst thing. Here's the worst thing of any of us is when we get sick and then we get about halfway well and we stop praying. You know what happens? It'll come back. instead of us keep on praying. See? All right, that's what I'm asking you, your thoughts. Are we immune to sickness? No. But neither is it because that I'm sick. You know, we'll say, and I mean people have even said it, and you think about it, you say, well, this is on me for the glory of the Lord, and maybe, you know, he can, if I die now, if I die with it, maybe some medical science can take this to help other people. Now, isn't that nice that we can help God? Isn't that wonderful that we can help him run his show? You say, well, I've said that. Well, that's what I'm talking about. All of us have said those things. Because we're messed up, warped up, twisted up in our thinking about sicknesses and life. Right? Families, children are born, you know, deformed. Does that mean that God is against that family? If you ain't careful, you're going to have a lot of problems because you're going to have families where things are born. Well, I just don't see how they could ever be saved because there's some reason it was brought down like that on that child. God don't need no help. And don't worry about it. The devil don't either. He don't need our help. But you say, what are you talking about? I got to thinking, you know how the prophet said it. I got him here if you want to. He said, only the redeemed have angels. He said, now it's not said for sinners. But there's another quote where he says, everybody has an angel. There's a quote to that. But then this quote is showing you where he's laying it in order. He said, only the redeemed have angels. Right? What is the redeemed angel? Is it necessarily a personal situation? Or is it, and I can show you what the prophet said, it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's your personal angel. Now we start there, and then we can go on to the point of having angels. But we got to start with the fact that it's the Holy Ghost. And then we can go to ministering spirits that are ministering unto the people of God. Do you realize one thought? I mean, do you need a quote? Anybody need it? That you believe Brother Random said, only the redeemed have angels. See, only the redeemed have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So that baptism of the Holy Ghost is your angel. But that doesn't do away with angels that God gives. Uh-uh. Because the Bible said, and I love it the way it says it, the Bible does not say the angels of God are encamped about those who fear him. Now you go hunt that in the scriptures. You go and say, it doesn't say that. It says the angel, singular. It never says angels. It says the angel of God, which is the Holy Ghost himself. But then there's ministering spirits in the situation of helping each one of us. But now here's the story. Let's see if we can tie something together. Because our point of the book of Revelations was what? First, God shows who he is. Second, he shows where he amorphies. And the third part of our thought is to what? To see that John, in his writing, shows God showing John how perfect the bride already is. Not that she's going to have to be made perfect. As far as God is concerned, she's already finished. She's perfect. So those he justified, he's already glorified. Now I want to ask you a simple question. If you are, now get the point, I'm staying with the prophet. I'll give you quotes for things, but then my quote is straight of what? Only the redeemed have angels. So when Brother Brown says everybody has an angel, now And then he turns around and he says, only the redeemed have angels. Okay. I didn't give them this one, but this is the message, the resurrection of Lazarus. Yeah. You got angels, Gabriel, minor angels come. Right? Yes, you see angels. Every one has a guardian angel according to the scripture. Jesus said, their angels always behold my Father's face, which is in heaven. All right. Now he says, but then he goes on to what? Questions and answers in 64. And he said, it isn't promised that sinners have angels, has angels. It's only the redeemed have angels. All right. Now he's explaining himself. You know, they show the picture of the angels and the little children. I'm honest. Until that child becomes to an age of accountability, I believe God gives protection to little ones. And that's what I was thinking about. I think about them little babies laying up in them old buildings over there in the jungles and snakes crawling all over the place and biting them. And then I got to thinking, well, you know what? Ain't a snake in the world going to touch a child if that angel of God is there. Ain't going to do it. Trying to get you to see fear needs to be going out the door of the church, because as long as fear is with us, we're not going anywhere. But see, little babies you could think about. But he says sinners. Now the same prophet, explain it, says sinners don't have angels. Only the redeemed. So only the redeemed have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is your angel. But that doesn't do away with your own personal angel, because Brother Brown said you have a personal angel. All right? Like I've always told you, when I get there, I'm going to have to apologize to mine because I've kept him busy. I kind of believe I got two. I don't mean that as a joke. I just mean it as a point of straightness. The life that I've been and where I've been and walked, I believe it might be a half dozen of them hanging around me. And I thank God for them. But have you ever been to a place that everybody was afraid but you, and you just stand there not afraid? You're just as peaceful, and everybody else is scared. You ever been that way? Yeah. Me? Harm going wrong all around you, and you just... Why? Because there's something happened. All right? But only the redeemed now have the angels. Well, now, here's the question I want to ask you. If we believe in predestination, maybe one day I'll get back to that. If we really believe in predestination, do you realize then the prophet's right, if you take it correctly, that you were born with a seed in you? I believe in that. I just don't believe it the way the people of the message try to explain it, because it explains it as the sinners and everybody else has got it. It's just... But if you're ever going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost as the new birth, now, are you listening? If you ever are going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a new birth, does God have to wait till there for an angel to be assigned to you to take care of you? Now, come on, you ought to think about it in your life sometimes, what has happened in your life, and thinking how that things just changed. It was just, you know. Just think about it. See, if you're ever going to receive eternal life, as far as God is concerned, you already have it. Because who's you justified? It already glorified. There's the way the prophet explained. If you have eternal life, you always was eternal. What? Eternal life always was eternal. Not you as a human person, because you're not eternal now. I'm talking about fleshly things. But Jesus said, I'll be with you always. He didn't say always. I emphasize scripture to the point of what it says. He said, I'm with you always. In other words, he says, I'm there when you need me. That's the best way I can define that, as from between always and always. Always would mean he would never in any way leave from me. And I believe that he does. But I believe it like this. Sometimes he withdraws his presence and allows things to take place so that we'll learn to love him. Not a sniffling bad cold. I went through that, I hope, enough to where that you say, I fell and I broke a leg. Well, I tell you what, I'm glad God is with me, because if it hadn't, I'd have broke both of them. I like what Brother Moat said one time. He said, somebody was saying, you know, said, I've got an arm off for the glory of the Lord. Well, you know, Brother Moat, anybody that knew him, he liked me. I guess that's where I learned to be frank. But he said, okay, let's just cut both arms off. We'll give him double glory. Well, that don't fit, does it? No, we want to take it for what we want. You know. I stand here and preach a lot of times when my left leg is just burning like fire. Everybody says, put Brother Dick's chair. We had it. We took it to the house. We don't even use it. I'm just that stubborn. You say, why don't you sit down? It wouldn't hurt a thing for me to sit down. But I'm stubborn. I fight it. I'm just human. But does it mean I'm not saved? Does it mean that God has withdrawn his presence because that I've got a sickness? No, it just means, like I said, it probably means I'm stubborn. Well, that's part of it. My wife's going, anybody realize she does? Because, you know, I don't tell you when I'm sick. I don't tell her when I'm sick. Because there's no need going around and talking about your sickness. If I need to go to the doctor and it's bad enough, I'll go. You know. But why tell everybody, I'm sick, pray for me, I'm sick. And we're all sick. We're all just in the same shape. Ain't none of us that's Christians, because we're all sick. Now you just got out of the Word. Now you say, wait a minute. Well, then when Brother Branham was sick, he would be taken out. And when the Lord Jesus had a headache, he'd be taken out. So now you see what you're saying with it. Now why don't we live life like it is? And say, thank you. That's why I said the other day, why do we have to wait to get sick before we ask God to take care of us, to not let sickness come on us? Why can't we pray before? Old Brother John Martin, I remember that years ago. He said, you don't have to wait to get sick to be praying for sick. He said, pray for it before you get it. I thought, man, that's a good point. It struck into me, and that's what I do. Every day I thank him for healing me, saving me, keeping me. But for giving me plain common sense, too, in a lot of things. All right? See, I was thinking about it. And thinking about God was so great to those Christians till he took every one of them out of Jerusalem before he would allow Titus to come in. And those little children laying there, and snakes and things and all. And yet they just, for some reason, those things turn away. Could it be that your angel is taking care of you? I mean, was that bull afraid of Brother Branham? Or was it what was in him? Or what was standing there? Which one was it? Me? That animal knew what was standing in front of it. You know how I've made it. I've made it to the point that I believe it. See, there for a moment, nature saw its master in a man called William Branham. hornets, all of those things. I think about him sometimes. He said the other day, he said, there I was up there in the mountains. He said, 70 miles from any human. Now, if that's me, I'd cut it down to 50, you know, at least. But he said 70 miles from any civilization, whatever, hardly. And he wasn't afraid. What was he depending on? Amen. He just built up a fire, lay down at night and go. What was he depending on? Now, Brother Biscoe's the one that told it, so it's up to him. But he said him and Brother Branham was out hunting one day, and said they had the fire, and he said, well, Brother Branham, you go ahead and go to sleep. And said, He said, I'll go to sleep, Brother Branham, and you set up. And I'll take over after a while. I believe that's the way it goes. And he said he woke him up, or he got up, you know, and he said, Brother Branham went over to lay down and said, he sat down. He said, a presence just engulfed that place where the prophet had been. I believe that. I believe that. God, I witnessed him being there to when you're not afraid. See? When you have no fear, fear is gone. When are we going to get to that? When we're going to get to the basis here, we're not. Oh, but I'm getting older. Well, what do you think is supposed to happen to you? I mean, are we supposed to be getting older, but look at our body and it's getting younger? You're kind of putting things ahead of time. That's supposed to happen one of these days. But it ain't like it ain't no vitamin we can take. It ain't no something we can do to keep ourselves to that. We're all subject to sicknesses and troubles and heartache, but it doesn't mean God has turned against us. It could mean that he's allowing that to happen, even to see how you will react. What about it? He said, well, that's kind of funny if you think. But see, I was thinking of this message. How perfect God shows the church to be before he ever starts writing one word about her. You know, after he shows how perfect she is in chapter 1, chapter 2, he starts telling them about their troubles and what they are and their problems. You got the deeds of the Nicolaitans among you. One of them would say, and you hate that, and I hate it too. But after a while, he'd say, you got these things. Right? But he's already told how perfect we are. You realize when he gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're as perfect in your soul as you will ever be in life. Even when you get a change of the body, all of the things, it won't make that soul no more eternal. Well, then why would I doubt him taking care of me? Yeah, but Brother Dale, you're 78 years old. You ought not be going down to deer hunting land 80 miles away. Go back in them woods and sit down. I have a good time. And I'm serious. I love for people to hunt with me. I do. I love to hunt with Danny and Richard and Wade and Donnie and all like that. But you know what? When I'm down there by myself, I ain't got to worry about nobody. Well, ain't you afraid you'll fall and get hurt? So what? I was sitting up on a deer stand one day about 15 feet off the ground, and the stand fell out from under me. It just split and went apart. And as it did, I had already flipped the gun away because I felt it move, and I just flipped the gun to get rid of it, and I went like that. And when I did, it was just perfect. I grabbed a limb on that tree and just swung all the way around that tree. Oh, Brother Forney, get that done. I went all the way around that tree. You know where my feet landed? On the nails that I had drove in the tree. I walked down. I went down and got my gun. You said, did you go home? No, the day wasn't over. I was hunting. I went down to the next stand, and I jumped up and down on it and made sure it was all right. But I didn't go home. Terrence was with me one day, and I stood my 30-06, you've heard me tell it, stood it up against a tree just like that. Hooked up my stand. He was over in another place and fixed him up. And it so shielded the sound from that he didn't hardly even hear the gun go off. But that gun went off that barrel that close. I'm talking at the end of the barrel. I had lead and bark in my head. And I couldn't hear. Period, I couldn't hear. He said, what did you, go get Terrence and run to the house? No, I didn't want to mess up his hunting. So I was okay. I was so numb, I couldn't feel, I'm truthfully. You know what I done? I said, well, some way I'm still here in some ways, I know, because I can see. But I said, I better check and see where all the parts is at. So I done my hand like this. And I looked and had blood on my hand. But I had enough knowledge that I knew if my head was blowed off, that my hand was sunk down in it. All right? I'm standing against the tree thinking these things over. And I go, well, thank you, Lord. There ain't nothing blowed away. I just got a little bark. And there's pieces of metal went up and hit that tree and come, hey. Why are you going to be afraid? You know, I mean, why are you going to be afraid? I was sitting up on the deer stand there one day. And about the time, you know, here went my heart right in. Everything in here started hurting. My left arm just started killing me. It's just going down. I said, well, Lord, that's signs of a heart attack. But I said, you know what, Lord? If I die here, they know where I'm at. They'll find my body. But I said, I'd be closer to you here now than I would be if I was on the ground. So I ain't getting down. That's what I'm thinking. I just sat down on the stand. And I just sat there. Well, after a while, all the hurting went away and all the things. Did you come home and tell you what? No, because she'd put me in the hospital. You know? But do you get what I'm talking about? Why be afraid? Thinking your life with the things you've been through and something happened, a car wreck, thinking about Anna back there, Zach's girlfriend. You ought to see the picture of that car. I wish we could get it and put it on the screen. Really didn't let them see it. The whole front end is tore off the car. It spun totally around. The whole back end is tore off the car. Even the truck that run over it, it's all back up under the front end of the truck. And she walked away. Amen. Right? Ask Josh about it. When the day he pulled some stupid tricks and tried to outrun a car and get in front. And the car spun out with him and slapped up against a tree. Yeah. He gets out. There's a car right behind him. As a matter of fact, they were the people that he was passing. And they jump out. And they said, you all right? He said, yeah. Yeah, I'm all right. He said, where's that other guy? Josh said, there ain't no other guy. Said, there was another guy in that car with you. Let him tell about it. He said, there wasn't nobody in that car. The people said, we saw him walk away. Well, then we knew who was in that car. Right? I believe in guardian angels. I believe the angel of God is encamped about it. But start with the Holy Spirit being your angel. Let him be your angel, and then he has ministering spirits assigned for whatever we have need of. And then we shouldn't be afraid. Fear hath torment. Why be afraid? Just stand there and check the situation. Like I said, I hunted to see if all the parts was there. I didn't get all excited and all scared and everything. I just checked to see if the parts was there. Okay, they've got it. This is the front end of it. It's all tore out. Here's the front end of it. That thing spun all the way around. Here's the back end. And then it was stowed into a ditch. Everything, if you look at it in the correct way, everything's tore off except right where she's sitting. No damage to right where she's sitting. You say, well, I don't know. Well, I believe. I believe God is with us everywhere. You ever wake up in the night? You know why I get up and walk sometimes? Because I meet him in the house. I walk around and say, thank you. I love you, Lord. Lead me and guide me. Go crawl back in the bed and go to sleep. I believe he's there. He said, well, have you ever had... Yeah, I've told you the three experiences I had when an angel or something was standing in the doorway looking at me, and I grabbed a .357 pistol and went after it. That's how real it was. He said, yeah, it scared me to death. But then after I realized the house was in, how it was laid out, there's no way he could get out. And I went hunting for him. But I didn't find nobody. Second time, a little easier. And still nervous, a little easier about it. Because he realized something's taking place. That's supernatural. Come on, musicians. I'm sorry. I was going to just preach us 5 minutes on getting you to think about what I'm saying and then maybe tell a little thought. But my little thought is one thing. God is there with you. That's right. To take care of you.
That's right.
If you just believe it.
Yes.
Why don't you talk to it? I walk around in the store, and that's what gets me. I walk around in the store, and there's a guy comes walking by, and he's just talking away, and I want to say, yes, sir, what do you want? He's got a big old thing stuck in his ear, and he's on the phone. Yeah. Right? But he's talking to somebody. Why don't we talk to God? Why not talk to him all the time? Why not tell him every minute, every day, how much you love him? Why not tell him how you're sorry for your life and things? But, Lord, you are the one, the propitiation for what I've done. Thank you. You say, well, what do you mean? Maybe that little baby's laying up in a place and here comes a bad cobra and just crawls right up, crawls right over the child and goes right on. Lord's with us. Present tense God's what I'm talking about. Now, present tense God ain't no good when a gun goes off and you're wondering whether your head's left or not. I'll guarantee you that. No future is going to help. It wouldn't be no knowledge of, hey, well, I'll tell you what, I got hurt. No, it's right there, present tense. And you just say, thank you. I love you, Lord. Thank you for taking care of me. Everything's all right. What about it? Let's stand. Anybody have a need? We'll just sing one verse and get through. Don't forget the little things.
Oh, hallelujah.
Don't forget the little things.
Hallelujah.
It's God's presence.
Hang it up, words loud. I got
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
of the situation I am now.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said, then I can walk before God at a judgment seat.
Thank
he said, him
you,
say,
Jesus.
Depart from me. He said, I could love him just as much. You love him? You love him, it don't matter how sick you get or whatever. We don't glory in the sickness, no, no. We glory in the healing. There is no attribute for us to glory in sickness. That's foolishness. The attribute is in the healer. I am the Lord that healeth all of thy diseases. Brother Ralph said, that was Moses' doctor's bag. And under all of that, they come out of Egypt that their shoes grow to their feet. And there was not one sick one among them. That's under the blood of bulls and goats. But thank you, Lord. Thank you that even my name could be thought of in heaven enough that you could say. Wouldn't it be something like Job? How did it start? Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Now, he got a lot of problems. He got a lot of troubles. And he's been a bad guy. And I'm going to turn you loose. No. Now, come on. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He's perfect. Satan says, well, let me have him. He said, you got him. He said, you could even touch his family. He said, you leave him alone. And you got to remember, he said, you leave his wife alone too. Because she's part. The kids got sick and died. But his wife was still there. Even though she was out making fun of him, she's part of him. And God was looking down. He was smiling. You know why? Because he knew the end of the story. He lost 7 children. He was given 14. Given 7 in glory that had died. This is the words of the prophet. And 7 more. Lost all those thousands of head of cattle. Whatever. Doubled them. That was under the blood of bulls and goats. How much is it under the blood of Jesus Christ that by his stripes we are healed? At least don't fear. Fear just gets you in trouble. Just stand still and see the glory of the Lord. Father, we thank you. And I know I just broke it all up today, but I'm sorry about that. But maybe the people understand me. I'm just trying to talk about you being present. Not in the future, not in the past, but you're living right here with us. And there's no need whatsoever to think about life as it is. We think about who you are and what you said. We love you. We thank you. We're just blessing God. Maybe the sisters will have it ready for us. I don't know where they're saying okay. So let's go eat together, fellowship together. Now listen, I'm telling you, you can't eat over 4 pieces of chicken. That's limited. You only get 4 pieces of chicken. Because when they said chicken, when my wife said chicken, they piled, they ain't a hen in the country. They ain't one alive because they piled it on yesterday. And they had so much chicken until. Now, I thank you for doing that. I appreciate all of it because it's good. We'll have a good time in it. Let's just, Father, we ask you to sanctify the food and the nourishment to our bodies and us into your glory. Open our minds to this evening. Wade can come and minister unto us thy word. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Oh, take